You are listening to Particular Pilgrims, Stories from Reformed Baptist History with Commentary. I'm your host, Ron Miller, pastor of Covenant Baptist Church of Clarksville, Tennessee, and a longtime student and collector of Particular Baptist History. We are on the Man of God Network, brought to you by Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary. Last time I introduced you to William Crabtree, the first pastor of the Baptist Church in Bradford, who was followed in the ministry by William Stedman. Crabtree's life is worthy of being told and contains several noteworthy lessons. Many of the men and women studied so far were raised in godly homes, but William did not have that advantage. He was born December 3, 1720, into a poor home in rural Wadsworth near Halifax. In some records he left, William noted that he lost his father when 18 months old and his mother at 8 years. Friends of his father took him in and, quote, put us out to be weavers of shalloons. That means he was apprenticed to make a particular kind of fine wool cloth. He became responsible for himself at age 17. There is little evidence of a spiritual upbringing. William vividly writes of this period, I became my own master. I was boarded in a wicked village next door to hell itself, given to Sabbath breaking, drunkenness, profane cursing, and swearing. I was linked in company with 5 or 6 young men who did all in their power to teach me all manner of wickedness, to do which I thought was very manly. So much addicted was I to swearing that I scarcely knew when I did. And while he had periods of conviction, especially about a particular instance of theft, his behavior didn't change. But then God intervened by bringing William Grimshaw, the evangelical curate of Howth, to preach in Crabtree's neighborhood. This was common for Grimshaw. Beside his Sunday preaching, he averaged between 10 and 20 sermons each week in area homes. Crabtree heard him expound the story of the prodigal son and, quote, made this observation that one sin would damn a soul as well as 1,000. It struck me to the heart. Then I thought my case deplorable. I went after that to Howth constantly to hear him. His conversion followed sometime probably in the mid-1740s. He regularly attended the ministry of Richard Smith in Waynesgate, and by 1750, he had been chosen as a deacon by the Baptist Church. His progress in the things of God was rapid, so that his gifts were recognized, and he publicly taught among them and other area congregations. He began to go to Bradford once a month in 1752. The number of hearers quickly grew, and when winter came on, they needed a place inside to meet. Now, being very poor, the only building they could afford was one that had been a long time legal site for cockfights. Crabtree describes this case as, quote, Christ has need of the very same place. Down Dagon must come. If this kind of strong, lively language was typical of his preaching, he must have been very easy to hear. Crabtree was called to be pastor of the 23-member church in Bradford on December 4, 1753. He was ordained the next day. The church continued to grow, and soon a new building was erected, capable of holding 400 to 500 people. In the years that followed, much blessing came to the church, mainly through Crabtree's ministry, both in conversions and additions. For years, it was his practice to preach 5 or 6 times each week in the surrounding villages. And as was common in the poorer rural churches, he visited London to raise funds to pay off the meeting house. He preached in John Gill's and John Brine's London churches in the 1750s. Crabtree's main biographer, Isaac Mann, notes both of these men's influence on him and a change that came in his thinking. Mann says, quote, "Mr. Crabtree began his ministry when the popularity and influence of those great men, Gill and Brine, were at their height. It is not at all strange, therefore, if he should have adopted their sentiments on what was styled, quote, the modern question, whether saving faith was the duty of the unregenerate. On this subject, however, there is reason to think his views in his latter years underwent an alteration. But when he was on the negative side of the question, he never considered the ability of fallen man, much less the secret purposes of God, as forming the measure of man's duty, nor failed to address the unregenerate part of his auditory with great fervency. And when on the affirmative side of it, he never felt any diminution in his attachment to those glorious doctrines of discriminating grace. He was firmly attached to his sentiments as a dissenter, Calvinist, and Baptist." End quote. Notice quickly five things. First, whatever label we put on Crabtree in his early ministry, it is clear he preached directly to unbelievers. Presumably, he followed the example of Grimshaw and his own particular case. Second, High Calvinism, if we can call it that, didn't constrain his zeal or practice of village preaching. He didn't lack interest in conversions under God's hand. Third, this is a good reminder that when God-centered preaching occurs, even if imperfect, and doesn't this apply to every preacher in some way? The sovereign Lord is still easily able to save his elect. Fourth, here is one instance of many in a man changing his mind about the question of duty faith. Many were to do this in the latter half of the 18th century, though not all, in Baptist churches. And fifth, he was a particular Baptist throughout his ministry. Age can sometimes tempt a man to narrowness or laxity. Crabtree doesn't appear to have erred in his understanding of the doctrines of grace. Sometimes a man's contributions to the kingdom of Christ are in people, not published works. That is true for William. He had a few sermons printed, but left no large legacy in this way. He did faithfully pastor his much-loved people and was used by God to help other men into the ministry. The most famous was John Fawcett, whom we studied earlier. On February 26, 1758, Fawcett came before the church at Bradford as a candidate for baptism and church fellowship. Crabtree wrote about this occasion, saying, quote, "Fawcett gave a very satisfactory account to the church of the Lord's dealings with his soul and was judged a fit subject for church fellowship." A few years later, Fawcett was released to Waynesgate and spent over 50 years in service to them. This is in part to the credit of William Crabtree. Another striking fact about Crabtree and others like Fawcett of this day is that they served as sole elders for a half century or more in one congregation. This long-term dedication to a place and people can produce maturity and stability in a church. We live in a time and place where 2 to 3 year pastorates are the rule. His contrary example is worthy of imitation. But there are dangers. When only one man by himself leads a church for so long, he may be idolized. Other gifts of Christ may be missed or underused. The Bradford church seems to have generally done well against this temptation by sending out other men, maintaining associational ties, and helping to plant churches. But single elder rule is not the scriptural pattern, and one obvious weakness comes when a man becomes feeble by age or disease. Instead of being supported by co-elders and easing out of the ministry while still contributing, some men are tempted to hang on for too long. That was the case with William. After a serious illness, Mann writes, quote, "It was plain to his friends that his work was done." Of this, however, he was not so fully aware. His discerning faculty was impaired, especially when turned in upon himself. So he was initially unwilling to step down from the ministry. But after a short time of trouble, the matter was settled and he continued in the congregation, but not as the pastor. He was 83 years old, having spent over a half century in service to his master. A few years passed, and then so did he. In December 1811, aged 90. May the Lord keep his shepherds long in their service for the flock, but at the right time, teach them when their work is done. Thank you for listening today. This is Ron the Baptist, wishing you grace and peace.